Yeah, you never perfect it. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of never perfecting anything, who the hell is behind the promotions for Blue Beetle? Because I have not seen a trailer, and I had no idea what this character was.
I have seen some advertisement for it on some sports, MLB, some different games and everything else. But this is kind of one of your sub-tier DC characters for sure. But honestly, Johnny, this is the effect of the writers and the actors being on strike at the same time.
Got it.
Because if they weren't, you'd probably have George Lopez on every single talk show this week out promoting it, and which would have done very well for this movie because, Lopez is good on talk shows like that and good at promoting and good at getting out there. Like, that's the type of guy you would have needed out there. Also, you know, Zolo, you know, who we know from Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
You know, he's a young, up-and-coming actor here that people really like. And, I've really enjoyed him. I think he's been one of the better parts of Cobra Kai, you know, kind of meshing with that generational gap humor that's there between him and, you know, the other older players that, you know, we grew up with in the original. So I think this is definitely hurting it. Also, too, obviously, all the trouble that DC's had. It seems like DC's just an easy target in terms of their movies. And I'm going to be quite honest with you. Wasn't a big fan of Shazam Fury of the Gods. I did not think The Flash was the disaster that it was painted to be. I thought it was fun. I also thought it was a mess and definitely had a couple things wrong with it, but it still was a fun summer movie. But this movie that I saw, Blue Beetle, it's the best movie entry they've had since James Gunn's The Suicide Squad.
Wow.
I don't count Peacemaker because Peacemaker is a television series. If you had to ask me what's one of the best things they've done, it's going to be Peacemaker for me. I think Peacemaker is amazing. It's really great. It's got Gunn's fingerprints all over it. But I really like this movie. Now, I will say this. It doesn't, like, break the mold in terms of superhero movies. I mean, it's kind of paint by numbers in terms of the origin story of what we're used to. And listen, we've seen a lot of superhero movies lately. It's hard not to see inspirations from other films in these films, but it has like a cool, like almost 80s vibe to it. Doesn't take place in the 80s, but there's elements of the 80s in it that kind of incorporate into this story. But it's even shot like an 80s film. It has like a synthesized, like electronic score. There's lots of neon bright colors, and yeah, the character's fun. I don't. This is what I said about when I got out of it. Of all the problems people have with DC movies, like other than being like a little paint by numbers, I didn't have anything bad to say about it. I actually thought it was, like, fun, and, like, I like the family story just as much as the superhero story. And Gunn has said that this character is going to stick around. Now, how they get this to work out or not, I don't know, because supposedly, you know, they're going to kind of reboot this whole universe and kind of start anew, but still keep certain things. Like, they're not going to get rid of Peacemaker. That was way too much of a, you know, buzzworthy show, and people loved it. They're going to bring that back eventually. But, you know, obviously they talked about keeping The Flash around, but I wouldn't mind them keeping Blue Beetle around. I mean, we'll see how it goes. And sometimes the weird characters, like you said, Johnny, that you haven't really heard of, sometimes that's a good thing because you don't have expectations for them like a beloved character where it can be something fresh and new where you're like, oh, man, that's a good time. And that's kind of how I felt about this film.
Now, is it a standalone type of movie, or does it tie in, or there are cameos from other DC characters?
Only the minor of minor things, like maybe a little Gotham drop, you know, Okay. Stuff like that, like in their clothing or a mention of like a character. But this isn't a cameo fest. Other people aren't showing up. You're not introducing other characters like, you know, the Justice Society like they were trying to do in Black Adam. This is basically his film. This is about, you know, Jaime Reyes, who's the, you know, the character that gets the power of the Blue Beetle. It's about him and his family and what they go through. And listen, as many of you know, I'm just a regular old white dude, but there is a lot of Latino culture stuff in this film, and it's very much threaded in this film, as that's part of this film, that culture and, you know, honoring that culture, but also having their own superhero. That's like why I say, again, it's a shame the actor strike is going on, because I think a few of these players involved could have been out there really promoting this in a positive way. So we'll see if that demographic shows up, because this is a hero for them.
I mean, I like that.
This is how it is.
We'll see. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we'll see if they show up.
I'm looking at the cast, and even the director is Hispanic, right? So it's like,
yeah.
And I don't have a problem with like, I bitch and complain sometimes. I think that sometimes people are overshooting, like they're trying to wedge in and have everything represented to the point where it kind of waters down some show, some movies and some shows. But I have no problem with this superhero, this movie, you know, kind of honoring this Hispanic culture and all that. I kind of like that. What was the musical? Was it Washington Heights or whatever? I kind of liked it.
In the Heights.
I liked it for the same reason, because it was like, okay, this is a part of New York that exists that they're kind of like showing and then making a musical out of it. And I enjoyed it for that. It was something that, you know, that's a little outside of the box you're not used to. And I kind of like this for the superhero too. Like for the Hispanic community, you had the Black Panther. That was kind of like, you know, it was like the African-American superhero that everybody kind of rallied around. And you're right. There was nobody for the Hispanic community. This is like a full Hispanic cast. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, the cast is great. It's funny because the his mom in the movie, I kept like looking at her and like hearing her voice. I'm like, man, she has been in something that I know what it is. Like, I know what it is. I can figure it out. And then when the credits rolled, I realized she was the girl from Predator. You know, that they found in there. And listen, George Lopez is playing George Lopez in this film.
He's awesome.
But I do think that George Lopez does a really good job of playing George Lopez in this film. He's a great character. He's like, you know, he's the comic relief. He's the scene stealer. But this movie's a lot about family, too. Like I said, it is not recreating the superhero genre on the lines of a Guardians of the Galaxy or like a Deadpool. But it is a fun little watch and like kind of like a nice August movie to kind of go out with. Sometimes, you know, this is how it used to be. We get our quirky movies in August. Whether they were our raunchy comedies, I hate to say it, have just pretty much all but gone away, even though we do have Strays this weekend.
I'm excited about that. I was going to talk to you about it, too.
Just, you know, rated R about the dogs, you know, but I don't think they've done enough promotion for that even, too, because I'm like, people love dogs. You make a rated R movie about dogs, you get a kick out of it, but I just think that there's maybe a hesitation to even spend advertising dollars because you're concerned about, with the promotion you're lacking, you're going to spend even more money, and then people may not be aware of it. Now, they are saying that this could be the thing that takes out Barbie finally. You know, originally they thought maybe 15, you know, 20 million, you know, for Blue Beetle this weekend. But, you know, the buzz got a little stronger. The reviews have come out today. People are kind of like me where they're like, you know, this is a really kind of fun film. Like, I don't have a problem with this. This is, it's nice. It's easy. It's easy to take in. It's easy to digest, and it's still fun. But I think it's going to be a tight race, but I wouldn't be surprised if Blue Beetle does make around $27, $30 million and finally kind of quells Barbie, because I know we joked around about this, Johnny, that like, hey, you know, Barbie's going to do really well, but they ain't going to make Mario money. Well, no, obviously it's made Barbie money at this point because it's
now,
done really, really well.
The Barbie thing, like from an outsider looking in, right? Like I haven't seen the movie, right? But I've heard enough reviews that I can kind of get the gist of it. To me, this phenomenon, it kind of like, I don't know, it kind of echoes Taylor Swift kind of vibe, where it's like, is Taylor Swift the best, most talented artist out there? No, but whoever marketed Taylor Swift, whoever is behind this whole movement to where people feel like they got to be part of it, it's almost like a social media trend that's blown up to Oppenheimer levels, right? So it's like, I feel like Barbie did that. They did such a great job of marketing it, putting the empty Barbie boxes outside in the movie theater lobbies 3 months before the movie came out, and the great trailers and the social media more than anything, where it's like Barbieheimer, and like everybody's got to see it, everybody's got to see it, and the cast being kind of a top-notch cast. Is that kind of where you're at with this? Like, it became like one of these trends where like a Taylor Swift or a Beyonce concert, it's more like, I got to be part of it. I got to go and watch it.
Well, yeah, I definitely think it's a FOMO event, you know, fear of missing out.
Yeah.
You know, that's really what it turned into with Barbie. But I also think marketing, just like you said, just incredible. What they did on social media. I mean, you should teach that in colleges for marketing and stuff, what they did and how they do it. Now, granted, they had a huge brand that's been around forever and that crosses generations. But you can still flop out and flame out, you know, doing stuff with old brands like that. It doesn't always work. Yes, the Lego movie was great. Those Lego movie sequels, terrible. You know, I mean, so, you know, that's something they said. But like I said, they did all that stuff, but the movie still had to be good at the end of the day to make the money it's making and just to dominate. And, yeah, I've said this before. They hit it out of the park with the casting. I do think Margot Robbie has a chance of getting in there for Best Actress. I don't think she'll win, but I definitely think she has a chance to get in there, because not only was she just casted perfect, and I'm, you know, looks, everything about it, she's awesome in that movie. And I really do think Ryan Gosling is going to get nominated for supporting actor, because he steals the show. I mean, he's so good at it. And I think a lot of it has to do is, yes, those are two very good actors, but they also bought in. You have to buy into sometimes the absurdity and the lunacy of what they were doing. And they bought into it. And I think that's why it works so well. And it's also just a good movie. It's funny. It's entertaining. It's really odd how we had this with that and Oppenheimer, because those are two totally different movies. And yeah, Barbie's dominating. But at the same time, I've said, like, hey, you do realize all these people are showing up for Oppenheimer, which is a 3-hour historical drama. And it's rated R. Like, people don't show up for those type of films and those numbers that they had. It's going to make $300 million. So how they teamed up, and listen, Tom Cruise, remember, he was one of the first people to talk about this, about the you know, couldn't pick a better double feature. I'm going to say this again. Tom Cruise has done so much for trying to get people back in the movie theaters the last couple years. He was one of the ones that first spawned that. And then it started to get more and more traction, where celebrities were showing their, you know, their tickets that they got in the double feature. And listen, we love celebrities, and we saw them doing it. Didn't take long for everyone else wanting to be a part of it. And just like you said, Johnny, it turned into fear of missing out if you weren't there, whether you were a male or a female.
Yeah,
that's the big thing about it. Because you make all that money, there's definitely some guys showing up too. Just women.
This is what told me it was going to blow up. When I saw TikTok influencers, and I'm talking young dudes, right? I saw TikTok influencers going to the Barbie movie dressed in pink, and I went, oh, crap, this is about to blow up. There's one guy I follow, and he's like a rapper, and he's like an 18-year-old black guy, and he did a video with him and his four buddies, all rappers, showing up to a movie theater, and one of the guys was like, he was not dressed in pink, and the other three guys were. And the one guy's like, man, what are y'all doing, man? What are y'all going to see at the movies? And they're like, oh, man, we're going to see Oppenheimer. Like, why are you dressed in pink? And they're like, oh, it's coincidence. And then, like, they're going to walk into the theater, and the guy goes, well, hold up. And he jumps out the car and puts on his pink jacket and runs in there with them. And they're all like, Barbie! And I was like, oh, crap, this is about to blow up. And now everybody posting pictures, even my own wife is a sucker, says she wants to go wear pink and go to the Barbie movie. And I'm like, all right, fine. Girl, you know, but right, babe?
She's Johnny, here. I think she's if you went, you would enjoy it. I mean, there's some really funny, good, like, offbeat humor in it. Like, I definitely think if you saw it, you would laugh.
If you're watching Bone TV, I'm wearing a pink shirt right now.
There you go. You're all ready for it. We'll call it salmon. Remember, that's how we always cheat. It's Sam.
I know. Yeah, I'm just doing it. You know, to FOMO. I'm representing for the Barbie movie.